Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has made poverty and inequality a central focus of his young administration, and he's not alone. Mayors across the country are taking up the cause. But as the Walsh administration settles in, a big question hangs over Boston City Hall. What can a mayor actually do to tackle the growing divide between the rich and the poor? WBUR's David Scharfenberg digs into the question.
This stretch of Washington Street, just a couple of blocks from Boston Common, was pretty seedy a few years back. Not anymore. The new 15-story Millennium Place offers up luxury condominiums, a private screening room for residents, and a customized social calendar called La Vie. Across the street, high-end furniture store Roche Bobois sells an $11,000 couch with a built-in jack for your iPad.
It's called the Cinétique, and it's a piece that's designed by one of our designers named Sasha Lakique.
Walk around the corner, and you'll find a very different scene. The headquarters for the city's largest anti-poverty agency, Action for Boston Community Development, is a big concrete box. Tanya Wilkerson of Dorchester is here to apply for home heating assistance in this brutal winter. After years of joblessness, she's at the breaking point.
Since I lost my job, it's like I fell so hard I can't even get up. Yeah. I wasn't expecting to lose my job.
This is Gilded Age Boston, a city of great wealth and great inequality. Census data show that when it comes to big cities, population 500,000 or more, Boston has the least equitable income distribution in the country. Its knowledge-based economy is driving an ever-sharper wedge between the haves and have-nots. No surprise, then, that new mayor Marty Walsh has spent a lot of time talking about inequality. Here he is last month in his inaugural address.
We will expand opportunities so it reaches every person in every corner of our city. We cannot tolerate a city divided by privilege and poverty.
Some economists caution that inequality is not as bad as it sounds.
Can't stress enough how important it is not to view the coexistence of wealth and poverty as something damning about Boston.
That's Ed Glaser, a Harvard professor and author of Triumph of the City.
The city should take pride that it has a thriving financial sector, that it has a thriving tech sector, that it has well-paid doctors. And it also should take pride in the fact that it is welcoming to new immigrants who come to the U.S., that it has a public transit system that enables people to get around without owning a car for every adult.
Glaser says the mayor does need to smooth out the differences between rich and poor. Anti-poverty advocates are calling for a more aggressive approach. It appears they have an audience, and not just here. The new mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, talked about a tale of two cities in his fall campaign. New Seattle mayor Ed Murray set up an income inequality advisory committee before he even took office. But here's the question. Can mayors really do much? Benjamin Barber, author of If Mayors Ruled the World, says cities are staring down big trends like the decline of manufacturing and the rise of the information economy.
The ultimate sources of inequality aren't local. The ultimate sources of inequality are global, but they're constrained to try to deal with them with local assets, and that, of course, is extremely difficult.
Here's another problem. Mayors aren't as powerful as they'd like to be. New York's de Blasio wants to raise taxes on the rich to pay for expanded preschool and after-school programs. But he can't do it without the okay of a leery state legislature. Here in Boston, Mayor Walsh doesn't even have the power to levy an income tax under the state constitution. Help from a dysfunctional Washington seems even less likely, but that dysfunction has left a leadership vacuum. And across the country, city officials, whatever their limitations, are increasingly confident they can fill it.
We are in a time where cities are driving policy nationally.
That's Joyce Linehan, Mayor Walsh's policy chief.
At a time when Congress can't really seem to get much done, cities are out here dealing with the day-to-day. It's a great time to be in municipal government.
There are some promising efforts at the local level.
So we are talking about the number 9 today. Who can show me how you make the number 9 on your fingers?
It's a Tuesday morning at the Holland Elementary School in the high-poverty Bowdoin-Geneva section of Dorchester. The Holland is on the verge of a state takeover, but administrators say the preschool program here and across the city is a bright spot. Last year, Harvard researchers released a study of 2,000 4- and 5-year-olds in the Boston public schools. It found bigger gains in math and vocabulary than in any other study of a large preschool program in the nation.
Everyone make a circle and a straight line down. That's how we make our nine.
Mayor Walsh has made universal preschool, a slot for every kid, the cornerstone of his war on poverty. The idea is to boost brain development and later graduation rates and job prospects. The research on the long-term impacts of early education is mixed, but the most promising programs emphasize quality. In Boston, that means a rigorous curriculum and coaches for teachers. It's expensive stuff. School officials say doubling the district's preschool slots would cost about $32 million in the first year. But Walsh says he'll find the money in his first term. He says it's too important. Here's the mayor at a recent breakfast with business leaders just a few days after Governor Patrick delivered his State of the Commonwealth address and President Obama his State of the Union.
The president said it the other night. The governor said it the other night. We need to make sure that we get these young people into school earlier.
So preschool is getting a lot of national attention. But for any mayor battling inequality in a big, rich 21st century city, there's another more basic issue, the high cost of housing. Mayor Walsh has a few ideas, like turning vacant city land into affordable housing, but the truth is, no one has really figured out this problem. And in Boston, one of the least affordable housing markets in the country, it's a painful one. The St. Ambrose Family Shelter in Dorchester recently cleaned out storage space to make room for four more families. Rosalie Hernandez is a new arrival. She lives in a very small room with two mattresses, one piled high with clothes.
I have a lot of things because I couldn't really pay my storage and I had to go to a smaller storage.
She sleeps on the other mattress, just a couple of feet away, with her 7-year-old son, Jeshuan. Rosalie's story is partly about family crisis. She was in foster care when she was a kid. Her boyfriend, Jeshuan's dad, was murdered. But it's also about low-wage restaurant jobs and rents she couldn't afford, bouncing from one friend's apartment to another and trying to take care of her son along the way.
And he didn't really have a jacket, so I remember going everywhere to try to find him a jacket, and I couldn't find him a jacket, and I gave him my jacket. It was tough. I'm just relieved that he doesn't remember because he was so small. But I tried my best.
Hernandez has found some stability in the shelter. She's taking an introductory course to the medical field, one of the great strengths of this affluent city. Mayor Walsh, who grew up just a few blocks from here, says he wants people like Rosalie to get a piece of that affluence, to close the gap in one of the least equitable cities in the country. It's the challenge of his administration, maybe the challenge of his time, and it's an enormous one. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Scharfenberg.